everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Engage to Flourish podcast. I'm your host, Damon, and I have my posse, Kyle and Brett, here. And we found out that we needed to have a female voice because this morning I was having a conversation with someone, and she said she's really been appreciating the female voices that have been coming on recently. So I said, well, then you need to be the female voice for this week. So welcome to the show, Sakura Reese. Welcome back, Sak.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
So we are in the middle of our True Disciple series. I keep getting tongue-tied when I'm trying to say that. But yes, we're in the middle of our True Disciple series, and we just had an awesome message by Pastor Robert O. this past Sunday about taking up our cross. And if you haven't checked that out, go find it on our YouTube, or there's also the podcast version on all of our platforms. So check it out. It was a great message. But we're going to be talking a little bit about that today, and kind of we felt like the theme of today's podcast is going to be on obstacles to discipleship. Because I think sometimes we talk about how to be a disciple, what does discipleship look like? But then when we don't talk about some of the obstacles, then it gets a lot harder than it actually should be, because we run into a roadblock or something and then we give up. So one of the things we wanted to talk about was really dedicate an episode to highlighting some of the obstacles and how we can overcome them. So we felt like it was a good tie-in to some of Pastor Robert's things that he brought up. So we're going to be talking about that today. So one of the first ones that we had been discussing as we were kind of prepping for this episode was the comparison trap, and how our society is so geared towards getting us to compare our lives, whether it's in the secular and the things that we want to get or achieve, or even in our Christian walk and looking at other people's walk and saying, why can't my walk be like theirs? Why does mine seem so much more difficult? And I feel like it was cool because Pastor Robert had kind of highlighted that a little bit, and it's something that we had already been talking about. So I felt like that was a good place for us to start. So this person always likes to throw other people under. So Kyle, what do you think?
Yeah, I knew it. I knew it was coming my direction. I definitely experienced that growing up too. Like, you see people at different maturity levels and you're like, oh, either how did they get there, or like, it can kind of envious and jealous maybe even of it. But then sometimes like, I can't get there. That's too hard. I don't see the process of how I'm going to reach that. And sometimes that then can either, you can either propel you on, like to, I'm going to strive for it, or I'm going to push myself towards that, or I'm going to give up. It's not attainable. So I definitely saw that in my life. There are some people who are like, I don't know how, I can't measure up. And I think that's a sign of then of immaturity. But, or at least for me, like that was something I had to wrestle with. And then it's just, as I've seen God develop me little by little, I realize it, and I look back over time and I'm like, oh wow, I've come a long way. But when you look at it, when you're trying to get somewhere really high, and I think actually it ties in with our Bible reading plan, right? Sometimes people think of, oh, I can't read through the whole New Testament in 1 year, or I can't do such and such, because you're looking at the end goal instead of just taking the next step. Mm. And so I think even in the discipleship thing, it's just God's calling us to take the next step, to become BLC, right? To be like Christ. So I think in a lot of ways, one of the hindrances is just looking too far ahead. Mm-hmm. But how about you, Brett? What do you think?
I think especially in this day and age, I think there's a part of us as human beings that it's natural to compare or just to look at the people around us, whether nowadays it's you could be connected to someone that's across the world, or maybe it's just your friend that's down the street. But I think the natural comparison in some ways it can be healthy, but I think it's easy for it to become unhealthy. And especially with social media things, I think Instagram has been awesome to help connect people, but also it typically is a platform that everyone posts their best life or only one side of the story. Mm-hmm. And no offense to anybody that's posting those awesome things, but it's easy to be someone viewing everything and looking like, especially if you don't feel like you're in a good place, to see everybody's like, wow, they're traveling here, they're doing this, they're involved with this, they met this person. And then you're like, dude, my life, like, I'm not doing any of that stuff. But it's not the full picture, and it's not, and I would agree with you, Kyle, it's some of that immaturity of not having the understanding, I think, about life as a whole. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where it's easy for the enemy to use that against us. And then it sets us back even further and further away from Christ, where instead, it shouldn't be about comparing, but more like being able to walk with and join with people. So someone is further along, like Kyle, you're a little bit older than me, just a tad.
And, wow, that was generous. Thank you.
No, I know your kids give you a hard time, so you know I got your back too.
Thanks, dude. Thanks.
But just like your experience in marriage and stuff, it's like I could look at it and say, Kyle's married longer than me. He knows so much more, you know, in one way, and compare, and it could put mm-hmm. myself down. Or I feel like I could compare and see, well, maybe I should ask him then for insight and wisdom. And instead of making it this thing almost like against you, it's like, can you help me with, or can I join you in learning about it? And so I think that's something that I've been learning in different seasons. Mm-hmm. And so when I think about comparison, it's natural and there's a healthy balance, but it's kind of how you respond to that.
Oh, for sure. That's a good point. I like that, the way you frame that. How about you, Sack? Anything when that stands out?
Yeah, when I think of, I think as Damon, you being a runner, you know, you've talked about the marathon. I can't say that I've ran a marathon because I haven't. But, you know, anytime I go for a run or a jog, you know, it's overwhelming when you think how much more you have to run. And it gets to the point where I'm like, okay, I'm just going to walk because I'm not going to get there anytime soon. But then I quickly kind of relate that to, I think I need to not focus so much on getting from point A to B, but knowing that this is a process. And, you know, just kind of along the way, just saying good job. Like, you're doing a good job. Because if
she's laughing because we actually talked about this morning too, and we weren't planning on having her on the podcast yet, mm-hmm. and we're just having this conversation about the good job thing. So it's kind of funny that it's actually coming up.
It was nice to hear it from Damon saying, you know, I was doing a good job, and it wasn't just like, you know, really great stuff that I was doing, but just, he was just there like a coach, just cheering me on, saying, you're doing a good job. And I got so used to hearing that I was like, oh, okay, that's just Damon. That's just him saying that. But then recently, it kind of gave me a new appreciation for that, because getting to point B is really sometimes not something we should, you know, like, strive for or achieve. Like, you know, if we're in this life for the long run, and, you know, the progress that you're making isn't seen, or you don't recognize it, it could seem really long.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think that's something for me, kind of going back to the runner in me, is recognizing if I'm there trying to run a marathon, which is a long way, right? 26 miles is a long way, and my only goal is to get to the finish line, then I'm missing out on a lot of time, right? And, you know, my fastest is a little bit under 3 hours. So if I'm running for 3 hours and I'm only focused on what happens at the end of the 3 hours, then I just lost out on 3 hours, right? Mm-hmm. And so I can have an opportunity to enjoy each step of the way, each part. I can reminisce on, you know, that hill that I went over, or that water station where I almost tripped, or some of these other things, and look back and say, wow, I've come a long way and in my journey. And so I think sometimes when we get so focused on just accomplishments or achievements or those types of things, we miss out on the joy of each step of the way. Mm-hmm. And I think that's something that God wants for us too, is to be able to enjoy all the parts and not just the end goal. Mm.
And something else that stood out to me when you were talking, Sack, is that you said you were jogging or running, and sometimes mm-hmm. you would just go to a walk.
Yeah.
Right. And I think that really ties into discipleship in general and maturity, is that we have seasons where we just can't keep up the pace, mm-hmm. right? We have mm-hmm. to take a break. Even if you stop, I think the key is that we just don't want to go back. We don't mm-hmm. want to walk back to the same direction we were. We want to, like, okay, I need to stop. I need to gather myself. I have a side ache or my foot hurts, and I need to just walk. And I think that's one of the keys in discipleship. That's one of the hindrances, is we feel like if we can't keep a certain pace, because, like, go back to the comparison thing, Brett, right? If we can't keep a certain pace because somebody else is, then I'm failing, or I might as well just quit. Yeah. Versus, no, God's calling you on your own journey, and especially in the discipleship journey, there's going to be seasons where there's peaks and valleys, right? Yeah. And we've all experienced that. And I think having that perspective really helps us.
And I think it's really cool for us being a part of Catalyst and having our mission the way it is, right? Is that God wants us to be who we were created and called to be. So my job is not to be who God created and called Kyle to be or who God created and called Zach to be. My job is just to be who God created and called me to be. And so sometimes the world, and I would say even the enemy, tries to get us to look at everybody else all the time because he doesn't want us just to recognize who we were created and called to be or who I was created and called to be, because I'm so many times looking at what everybody else is supposed to be doing.
Right. That kind of leads into what Pastor Robert said yesterday, too, about not comparing crosses, right? Mm. God gave us each a cross to bear. And so for us, somebody else's cross might look like, oh, they have an easier cross or they have a more difficult cross or whatever it might be. But that's the one that God called them. And that's how they're created and called to be able to handle that based on their character, based on their life experience and different things. So what do you guys think about that? We each have our own cross to bear, and we shouldn't be envying somebody else's cross.
Yeah, I will be honest. I wasn't in service this past week, not because I was playing hooky, but because
because he wants to go under the podcast off the dome.
Well, I was preparing my message for the youth, and so it's interesting that we're talking about this process part, because that was a big point that I mentioned to them at the end, is sometimes we're too worried about the end goal, but we need to trust the process. Mm-hmm. And when you guys were sharing, what comes to mind is I was dealing with my own journey. And when I was in college, another staffer at another school told me to watch this quick animation video. And the video was of like a stick figure, and he's carrying a cross, and he's walking across this plane, and he gets tired, so he puts it down, and then he asks God, it's too heavy, can you make it smaller, right? And then you see other stick figures walking by and with all different lengths of crosses, and then he sees someone that has a shorter one, and he's like, it's too heavy, make mine shorter like theirs or whatever. And so they keep walking, and then by the time they get to this valley, this opening, you see people laying down their cross to get to the other side. And then the person who kept asking, mine was shorter, I wish mine was shorter, how come mine can't be like theirs? There's now doesn't fit that gap. And so I think, you know, I'm not trying to declare that over anybody, but I think it just gave me a powerful image because I was comparing a lot and feeling like, God, why did you give me the short end of the stick? But God has a purpose even in the burdens that we carry, and he can use it for good. And just like in that picture, like it fills the gap. It builds your faith. It builds your character. It builds like our mission of who we are and who God has created us to be so that we can get to that other side. And so just as you were sharing, that video came back to my mind, and I can still see it today where that stick figure gets to the point and he's like, oh my gosh, it doesn't, I'm not going to be able to get there.
That's a great picture, man. That really like makes it sink in. Like sometimes we ask out of ignorance, right? And then sometimes God answers those because we need to learn, but sometimes he's gracious and doesn't answer them and keeps that cross the same length because we need it. Hey, he knows what we're going to need in the future.
For sure.
Yeah, and that kind of highlights to me a little bit of what you shared in Catalyst Story. So if you haven't heard recently, our most recent episode is actually Brett sharing some of his story. But when it highlights to me, Brett, is, you know, when I look at you, if I didn't know you, and I just were to look at you, I would be like, wow, Brett has such strong faith. And, you know, just someone that I look up to, someone that I trust, someone. But also knowing your story, then it could easily be like, how did you get like that? And it's like, oh, I had to rely on God so much in my life because of all the things that I've had to go through. And that's made me who I am today. And so sometimes we look at like the great things, but then it's like, in order for us to get to those great things, we had to go through some difficult trials or different difficult things. And it's like, we don't see the whole story either. We only see one side. We only see, right, the Instagram picture, but we don't see what led up to that Instagram picture,
yeah,
too.
That's why I appreciate Catalyst Stories, because you kind of see, you're able to see the big picture and, you know, their story that they've, you know, shared briefly.
Yeah, I like it too because, you know, sometimes in service we get the 5-minute version, but mm-hmm. on Catalyst Stories we get the full one, and it's like, wow, God is so good in taking us through this whole story, and not, it kind of seems cheapened when we hear the 5-minute version and not the whole one. And so I really appreciate your openness on Catalyst Stories. Again, Brett, just how vulnerable you were, but really, if you haven't listened to Brett's story, it's an amazing story of how God has led him to be the man who he is today, and it's just really, really cool. And so I think, like I said, sometimes in this comparison trap that we get caught in, we look at, you know, this final product, and really it took a lot of steps to get there. And so we need to recognize that too.
And it, but there's actually one other side to it. There's the flip side, right? Like, we can actually look at other people and they're complaining about their cross, and you're like, come on, that's nothing. I've been, you know, I've been there, done that. But that's not where they're at, right? Mm. So sometimes I think we can get into that side where we're like, oh, I've already experienced. I mean, I get that with my kids, right? Our kids are younger than they haven't experienced life, and they get stressed or they get anxious about things that are like no big deal. But you can tell them it's no big deal, but they have to like go through it. Mm-hmm. But in our spiritual journeys too, like when we come to Christ, we're babies, right? We need spiritual milk, but God wants us to be able to eat meat. And so we can look at somebody who's more on the immature side, so to speak, and their cross is small, and we can see them complaining and we can be down on them, or we can actually then like help kind of spur them on mm. to victory. Like, hey, I've been in that place, I've had a cross like that, don't worry, like God will help you through, I'm here with you. And you know, that kind of part of the discipleship process.
Another thing that I thought was pretty cool about Pastor Robert's message that was kind of highlighted, and as we were talking to prepping for this episode, I felt like each person kind of related to it in a different way, was Pastor Robert talked about FOMO and FOBO. So if you don't know what that means, FOMO is fear of missing out. And Pastor Robert, for the first time I've ever heard anyone say this, he said FOBO is fear of a better opportunity or better option, right? And so really what that means is FOMO is when you're afraid of missing out, so you say yes to everything because you don't want to miss anything that's going on. And FOBO is when it's hard for you to make a commitment because you don't want to commit to something and then miss out on something else happening. So you want to keep your options open and really at the last minute decide on which one is the best opportunity for you. And I thought that that was a really good way to describe kind of the intuitive sense of what our culture is cultivating right now in people, and why it's hard for a lot of people to make commitments because they're looking for the best opportunity or the best option. And sometimes that actually hinders and gets to become an obstacle in our faith too. And so I thought that would be a good place for us to kind of pick up the discussion.
So who are you going to call out this time?
I'm thinking Brett. Yeah. Since it's the first time you've heard it, because you didn't listen to the sermon yesterday.
I mean, when you're saying that, I'm like, okay, any listeners that is my age or younger than me, you can give me flack, but we got a problem with that for sure. I mean, the amount of times I've seen a Facebook event or, I mean, some of these things aren't even hard things. They're like fun things, and you send out 50 invites and you get 50 maybes back. Mm. It's like, okay. Being FOBO is actually, you know, could be seen as kind of smart or strategic, because, I mean, I mm-hmm. used to be like that. Mm-hmm. But when you have your own, in a way, I feel like it's a little bit of a selfish perspective. Mm. And you don't see how your actions or your choices, even in thinking that, well, I'm going to wait for what's best for me, mm. affects other people, mm-hmm. right? If it's an event for the people planning, okay, now they have no idea how many people are coming, how much food, like all the prep that goes into that, right? Or, okay, I need a headcount, or I'm trying to plan something for these people attending, and now I don't know if they're coming, so should I plan something for them? You know, I think in ways it seems strategic, and I think in certain scenarios, yeah, you do need to discern, and you do need to analyze and think about what is the best option. But other times it's like, you wonder why, I mean, I don't know if I'm being too blunt, but you wonder why you got commitment issues is because you won't commit, right? And so, like, I know I've been convicted of that in a lot of ways, where I was the person that was not helping I was trying to be selfish in this. I was being selfish in a sense. Yeah. And I was not helping anybody else with my decisions or my commitment levels. And so, I had to change that.
So that seems like more like in a societal setting, right?
Yeah.
So did you see that play out then in your spiritual journey as well? Did you have that same like phobo with God? Like, okay, I'm not going to commit to stepping into things because I want to see if there's something better.
I think you get used to making, like in simple things, if you keep doing that, you kind of get used to that. And then it becomes a pattern of just how you make choices. Mm. And so I do feel like it started to affect my spiritual life. And I think the thing that it kind of caters towards is not going through anything hard, right? Because if you wait for an option, you're like, I know this could be difficult, but if I just wait, maybe an easier option will come. Mm. Maybe I don't have to walk through this season. Maybe I don't have to approach or face this because I'm just going to wait and pick this one. Where it's like you commit to the Bible reading. Maybe in the beginning it's fun and easy, but then you get, I don't know, other stuff that you could be doing. Mm-hmm. Okay, now you got to make a choice. What's my better option? Mm-hmm. Are you going to stick to it and persevere? Because a lot of times I think when you make a choice, the reason why you want to change is because you don't like what's happening or it's too hard or, but if you're always flip-flopping, I think you don't ever grow in that process that God wants us to grow in, because I think it kind of goes hand in hand with that end goal thing that mm-hmm. my better option is, oh, I can get to the end goal easier right here, where, you know, I've had to learn to be more disciplined, to have more of that delayed gratification, even in a faith sense.
It's a good word.
Yeah, I think the thing that I think of is just the family culture that I'm trying to implement in my own family. Like, you know, what are things that I'm trying to teach my kids and grow in? It's not that easy, you know. Mm. It's not like I can just say, hey, this is what you need to do. Starting tomorrow, you need to do this. It doesn't work that
Come
way.
Come on, parenting's easy, Sad. Come on.
I wish, but...
We're just trying to trick Brett because he doesn't know yet.
Yeah. I know. Kyle, you're making me write down wrong notes.
I think family culture has been something that I've been trying to think of more. Mm. You know, is it making your bed every morning? Is it, are we going to disrespect each other in our family or not? Mm. Like, it could be, you know, this is what we're going to do. Because this is what our family is about. I think it has to start in your own home before it could be played out in the real world. Mm. So even just with like sibling rivalry, right? Like if you can show respect to your sister or your little brother, in your own home, knowing that that's like your family culture, I think it could be, that could be something that's done out in the real world. And I think that applies to spiritual or just the world things.
Yeah, I think with this whole topic of FOMO and FOBO and things like that, when we look at it, it can really lead us to lack of character development because we're looking for the easy or the better. And then so when we're looking for those things, we're actually limiting how much development God can do in our own character because we're trying to go for the easy, right? And sometimes character development is hard. Mm-hmm. And we need to go through those hard things to be able to develop, whether it's like patience, perseverance, those types of things. You can't develop those things if it's always easy or if things always come quickly, right? And I think that is something that can really hinder our faith development as well, because we're always looking for what can God give me right now, mm-hmm. as opposed to how can I follow Jesus better, right? And really that's what we're talking about when it comes to being a disciple is how can I follow Jesus? How can I follow my rabbi, right? And so if we're always looking at a better option or an easier option, then we might not be following Jesus. We might be following something else. Like we might be following the cool pastor, or we might be following the in church, or we might be following, you know, something that makes us feel good, but we're not really following Jesus. We're just making something.
Yeah, I think something that you said that stuck out that's real simple is, you know, when we talk about better option, I think sometimes we even get confused in what actually is the better option, right? If you substitute easy for better, it doesn't necessarily mean it's the better option, right? Because like if you were to ask somebody, okay, is it better for you to follow Jesus or do this? They'll probably tell you, oh yeah, it's better to follow Jesus. But then when it comes down to it and it's an actual situation where you have to discern and listen to the Lord and figure out, okay, how am I supposed to respond the way that God would want me to or commit to whatever it is? Is the easy option actually the better option or not? And I think that's where it's easy to pick the easy option. And oftentimes that's not necessarily the better option.
Right.
Yeah. And it kind of brings to mind a situation that I've had to deal with some of the people in my age group where, you know, they would have some type of dissatisfaction or something feeling stirring in them that something at church needs to change. And so instead of being a part of the change, they said, okay, this church isn't right for me, and they would leave. Mm-hmm. And then as I was discerning and processing, some of the things that I was feeling was, I think they were the one that needed to stay to help implement some of these changes. Mm-hmm. And it actually hurt our church because they left instead of sticking around and helping to point out some of the things that were stirring and were wrestling with. And they decided, okay, it's probably better for me. This isn't for me. I should go somewhere else. And it was like, they could have been a part of the change. That would have been good for everybody.
For me, the FOBO thing, it's funny. It really hit me because I operated that way growing up. And then we were just kind of joking about it before we started recording, but just sitting here thinking, it's actually, I didn't have FOBO. I had, I don't know, I can't do the acronym.
But I had, be careful, Kyle.
Seriously. Starts with an F. I had fear of making the wrong choice or making mistakes. Mm. I didn't like to make mistakes, and that was one of my weaknesses that the enemy used. So I saw that in my life. I would procrastinate and not make decisions. It wasn't that necessarily that a better one would come, but I wanted to make the right one. Mm. And so I definitely saw that like flow through into my spiritual life, whereas I didn't trust God. Like if I made quote unquote a wrong choice, that he could still use that and he could still get me where I needed to go. It'd be better not to make a choice at that point. That's the way I viewed it. It's better if I don't make a choice than if I make a wrong one. Mm. And that was it was more of a paralyzing place to live from, but I've had to overcome that just in general, because I think different personalities, you know, we have our bent towards one thing or another. Like I'm more introverted, so FOMO is not a thing for me, but for my wife it is, right? But for me, it was, like being more of a thinker, I really wanted to not make the wrong choice because I thought then intellectually I could figure out what the best choice was. And so I would wait mm-hmm. and see if more data came in that I could analyze the situation. And with God, he doesn't operate that way usually, right? He wants you to take that step of faith first. And so for me to get into that mode was super hard. But at the same time, I can look back and say how freeing it is and was.
Yeah, I can relate to that. Yeah. Me being an introvert too.
Yeah, I got an amen from Zach. Amen.
There's a lot to learn when it comes to answering hard questions. It's hard for a reason. But you don't have to face it alone, you know. Mm. I think if you could be open, I think you guys were talking about this earlier about iron sharpening iron. Mm. You know, if you're open for feedback, you know, and you're letting other people know that you are open to feedback, people can actually, you know, talk to you about it, consult with you or just, hey, what do you think? And getting that conversation started is just one step, you know, closer to being able to answer some of those hard questions.
Yeah, it's kind of funny because so kind of give you a little bit of behind the scenes. Kyle's showing me some notes and I'm trying to listen to Zach and read Kyle's notes at the same time. Kyle, why don't you just read your notes on air and then?
Well, I just didn't know if you wanted to go that direction. Oh. That's why I was trying to show it to you. Well, one of the lines from Pastor Robert's message yesterday was, this one really stood out to me. It's very simple, yet if you think about it, it's really profound. It's without taking up our cross to follow Jesus, we're just going on a walk. And I'm like, oh, yeah, that duh. But then you think about, like, oh, yeah. And then he kind of alluded to, if we're just, are we just part of the crowd that's following him? So there's a lot of people that, like, followed around to listen to him, but really weren't disciples. So if we're in that, like, true disciple series, being a true disciple means taking up a cross. But then you think of that, and it's like, oh, that comes with a cost, too. Like, taking up a cross, like you were saying, Brett, earlier, like, you're dragging that cross around, that it's easier just to get rid of it, mm-hmm. or make it smaller or whatever. So just that thought of, yeah, really, I need to actually embrace taking that cross on. And it sounds, so it's counterculture, right? We should mm-hmm. make it easy. Life should be simple. Yet that's really just what the Bible is all about. It's, everything's counterculture. So I just wanted to bring that thought up and see if you guys had any insights on that.
I mean, when it comes to that, I feel like that's really what helps us to have what looks like authentic faith. And I think, you know, in Pastor Robert's message, that's something that he kind of pointed out was people can tell. People can tell when our faith is authentic, or people can tell when we're just like virtue signaling. Mm. And really what God wants is for us to be the type of people that wherever we go, people can notice there's something about them that's unique and special, and it's intriguing, and I want to know what that is, right? And so as we continue to carry our cross, it's an opportunity for us to allow the Lord to develop character, develop those characteristics in us that leak out, where people can recognize there's something authentic. It's not just they're saying the right stuff or they know the right ways to say it, but really they're living it, you know, kind of like, I'm going to steal Brett's terminology.
Be about it. Let's be about it.
Right? Don't just talk. They're not just talking about it, but they're being about it. And there's something authentic about that, right? And really, I think that comes from carrying the cross, right? It's not just, I'm following the in crowd, and when it's not in anymore, then I'm going somewhere else. It's not just choosing the right time and right place to be somewhere, or the right people to hang around with, or the right person to follow. When really it is choosing the right person, it's Jesus, right? And it's not just getting connected to, right, a church or a pastor. You know, I recently, some of my friends had passed around the Fall of Hillsongs podcast, right? And a lot of people were really hurt when some of the scandals came out with Hillsong. And as I listened to the podcast, really what I kept hearing was just pain. And what I felt like was there's so much pain because these people were so connected to that pastor or the church or being a part of the it church or whatever. And really they weren't connected to Jesus. They were connected to those people. And so when those people fell, their faith fell. Mm-hmm. Instead of those people fell and recognizing they're people, they can fall, but I'm so connected with the Lord that that's not going to shake my faith. Mm. And so a lot of people in the podcast had left the church or left the faith altogether because of the pain that they felt. And so really, I feel like for us, we need to keep our eyes on Jesus and really recognize our connection is with him and we want to follow him and we need to carry our cross so that he can develop that authentic faith in us.
Yeah, to add on to that, I think of the image of like Jesus telling his disciples, like, if you want to follow me, like, pick up your cross and follow me. And, you know, I kind of put myself in their shoes just to kind of imagine it. And you hear it, you hear his words, but now the ball's in your court. Mm. You have a choice to make. Like, are you going to pick it up and follow him? Or are you going to be like, I don't know if I want to do that, right? Like, the choice, he gives us the choice to do that. Mm-hmm. And so I just keep going back to how important it is for us and the choices that we make, because those choices, I think, enable us to either do, to be a true disciple, to make choices that help us follow Jesus more closely, or those choices kind of make it more difficult, or we choose, like you said in the podcast, some people choose to just stop following altogether. And so just the different things I think I'm thankful for that our church has been doing is providing us with a lot of choices that we can make to be able to follow Jesus more closely. And so, I think I'm definitely trying to reflect on my choices and and seeing if I'm just going for a walk or if I'm picking up my cross.
Yeah, that's really good stuff. You know, I keep going back to this picture of, I think it was Robert Madu. I went to a conference once and I heard him speak. Mm. And his title of his sermon was On Your Mark, Get Set, Go, or something like that. But except he put a twist on it and called it On Their Mark. So like, let's say, you know, you're in a track field and you're about to start in a race and you're actually more focused on the person that's in the next lane to you. Mm. That's kind of what he was pointing out in terms of, you know, running your race. It's like you're more focused on that person that's next to you. And then I think Pastor O was talking about how, you know, we get so focused on, you know, getting the best job and, you know, buying the best things. And just for, you know, just for the sake of, you know, showing it off and impressing people that you don't even like with the money you don't have, right? It's true. We impress people with the money we don't have. It's like, what are we doing here, you know? I don't know where my train of thought went from that to that, but
I don't know, but for a swimmer, you have a lot of running metaphors.
I am a swimmer, but... yeah, I think as an athlete, I think we can relate, right? So,
yeah, I mean, that's what the world of sports is nowadays, right? It's comparing who's the GOAT and who's the, you know, they come up with all different stats to supply why this person is better than this person. I mean, that's where culture is going. It's just comparison. And, you know, I think that's one of the really big obstacles in our faith. And so I think that's something for us to just continuously be checking is, am I trying to walk my walk with the Lord, or am I walking someone else's? And really, the Lord wants us to pick up our own cross and follow him.
Yeah, and I know we're going to be wrapping up here on this episode, but I just kind of wanted our listeners to realize and kind of embrace that, you know, a lot of us are on this journey together. Mm. I think sometimes with discipleship, when you can get kind of like self-focus, and I think there's an aspect of that that's important, but then when you lose the aspect that we're doing this as community, that's really kind of defeating. And so when we realize that we're doing this together, we're at different places, but we're doing this together, I think that there's something that's powerful. And so I just want our listeners to remember that. A lot of this stuff sounds like, oh, it sounds like a burden, it sounds like a struggle, and honestly, the Christian life is a lot like that.
But I think just life in general is like that, it is. Right? But then the world tries to get us to believe that life should just be easy, but it's not.
Sure. But I think but then to follow God's way, it's even harder, right? It makes things, it's not the easy way. It's the narrow road, right? But I think when we realize that we're on that road together, it really gives you that sense of bonding that like, hey, we can do this if we do it together. So we're not meant to do this alone. So I just wanted to kind of throw that out there as we're wrapping up this episode.
Yeah, so I think to piggyback off that, sometimes when we look at other people, right, we should be looking at people and saying, hey, they're ahead of me. How can I get their advice, their wisdom? Maybe they can help make my walk a little bit easier because they've gone through some of the pitfalls and I can avoid some of those ones, right? So it's not harder than it needs to be. And I think sometimes we make it harder than it needs to be, right? And just the way that we're walking or the choices that we make. And so when we, instead of looking at other people in order to compare ourselves with them, but we can look at other people and say, how can I learn from them? How can I honor them? How can I, you know, follow Jesus better because of their example? And I think that would be really helpful for us. Mm-hmm. So yeah, we're running short on time. So we're going to end it right there. We will be back next episode with continuing our True Disciples series. But until then, may you experience God's heart for you to flourish in every season. Thanks for listening to the Engage to Flourish podcast. We hope that you enjoyed this episode and encourage you to subscribe on Apple, Google, or Spotify so that you don't miss any new content. You can also check out our sister podcast, Catalyst Stories, available on multiple platforms as well. We would also love for you to check out our church. We meet every Sunday at 10 a.m. at Stanford Middle School in Long Beach.